laid out how all the parts and the pieces went together, and all the four kingdoms, or the three kingdoms that had come up, and then the fourth kingdom that was going to come up, that would be at the very end of the Colossus. And if you need to know what that is, you need to go back to Daniel chapter 12 and kind of read over that and learn what it says. Because that timeline that Daniel had in Daniel chapter 12, 9 and 12 and through there is a picture of world history. And so that's what he showed. Now, at the very end of Daniel's prophecy or the vision that he had in Daniel chapter 7, there's a new beast that comes on the scene. And we're going to find out that new beast is very similar to the beast that John saw coming out of the sea. All right. And we're going to find out that same beast that John saw in chapter 13 is very, very similar, or the same beast, you might as well say, in Revelation chapter 17. So we're going to look at these three beasts, which are one in the same. The good thing about the Word of God is if you study it, you will find out what it means. Amen. But if you only look at one portion of it, you'll be very confused. That's why God gave us the whole Word of God, that we could study it from one side to another and to get it all laid out the way that it needs to be so that we'll understand. To bring you up to speed, we have gone through the time of the churches. Okay, the church has passed away. All right, we are in paradise. We're in a resting place waiting for the day of the resurrection. The church is in this point in time. We're coming up to the 3.5 year mark, or we're in the 3.5 year mark where it's considered as Jacob's trouble. It's where God is trying to draw Israel back into himself, and he's unleashing a lot of things. The seven trumpets, and we've gone through most of those, and we saw the great hailstones, we saw wormwood, we saw all of that stuff. One third of all the sea life and all the ships have been wiped away. The green things have been wiped away. We saw the angel that had the key to the bottomless pit come down and open it, and all these things came out. Those locusts that had stings in their tails. Remember that? We just did it a couple weeks ago. And so we've been through all of that, and now we're in this new vision that John's going to receive. And so we're going to pick it up. And since we're in Revelation, we'll start in Revelation, then we'll back out of it and go back to the other side. And Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11. Let me ask God to bless His word and bless my mouth. Father, I do pray, Lord Jesus, that the words I speak will be faithful and true. Lord God, I pray that You have directed my mind. I pray, Father, that You would be heard today and it wouldn't be me. Father, I pray that I'd be able to explain this in a way that we all can understand it. Help us to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf, Lord God, that You would be lifted up, highly glorified in all things. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' marvelous name, amen. Chapter 13 and verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And it had two... Oh, I got to go back a little bit. Oh, yeah, because we went through the first beast last week, didn't we? 13, 1 through 11. Yeah, I was right. I had a mark there. He led the captain. Okay, so we'll pick back up. And I beheld another beast. Now, I've got to go back. All right. The Lord's telling me I've got to back up. Don't you love it when I go forward and stop and go back? Start in verse 1 of chapter 13. And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven horns and seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns were ten crowns, and upon his heads were the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it had been wounded unto death. wounded, and his death wound was healed. All right, his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great and great and blasphemous things, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. So we see something about what John is seeing here. He's seeing a beast that came up out of the sea. We're going to find in Revelation 13 that the sea actually represents humanity, the world as we know it. And so this beast is coming up out of humanity, which is really neat because we're about ready to go back into Daniel's vision of this very same beast and see how he comes. And so to get you in the spot where we're at right now, the angel is showing John some things that are going to happen. Now, this beast that comes up out of the sea, he's able to speak great and blasphemous things. We also know that he's been wounded in the head, and that wound in the head was a deadly wound. It should have killed him, but it didn't. And so I don't know what a bullet to the head. It says actually, I believe it's in Daniel, that it was a sword to the head. So he took a chop. Something happened to his head, and the guy should have died. Or he may have did die, but then they saw him rise back up and they started worshiping this beast. Now, who gave power and authority to the beast? Starts with a D and ends in Agon. Dragon, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. And he gave power unto the beast. Now, this beast that came up, he started speaking great things, blasphemous things. He was cursing God on every level. He didn't respect God. He didn't respect the people of God. He didn't even respect himself. He was a tool in the hands of Lucifer. And Lucifer is allowing him to rise up into this place of prominence and power. And when he opened his mouth in verse 6, he spoke blasphemous things. And he opened his mouth in verse 6 in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So we know that this beast here is particularly influential in his power. He's able to conquer kingdoms and he's able to do great warrior type things, but he's just speaking it. People are giving him their authority. If you'll flip back over to Daniel chapter 7, we're going to see something about this great beast that's coming up out of in Daniel, starting in 7:7. 7:7, baby. All right. Daniel 7:7. All right. And Daniel 7:7, he says, "After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. And it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke into pieces, and it stomped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all of the beasts which were before it. And it had 10 horns. And as I considered the horns, behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns that were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn, in this horn, were eyes, the eyes of a man, and that spoke great things." Now, when we're looking at Revelation chapter 13, what was the beast doing? He was able to speak blasphemous and great things, right? Now, he was also a beast that was like no other beast that had come before it. Last week, when we looked at Daniel's beast earlier in Daniel, we saw that, without giving you a whole overview of Daniel, do you know the Colossus that I'm talking about, or do I need to go through it? Say go through it or don't go through it. If you know it, I won't go through it. If you don't know it, I will. Go through it. All right. So Daniel, he had a vision, and it was, Nebuchadnezzar is the first one that had the vision, had a head of gold, right? Had a chest of silver, had a mid portion of brass, and then had legs of iron, and then feet, big old feet with 10 toes, right? I do this bigger, better. And he cracked a lot. All right. And so it was gold, silver, brass, and iron. And then this right here, there's a new beast that comes up right here, and it was dreadful than all the rest. This side here, help me here, Cliff, the head was the bear? Oh, right, lion, thank you. This was a lion. This was the bear. Eagle. A bear with a leopard had eagle's wings, and then a leopard. A beagle. It kind of looks like a beagle. And so anyhow, these here are times in their kingdoms that had come up. And this here would have been iron, and this here would have been Rome. And this here would have been Medo-Persia. M-E-D, Persia, P-E-R. No, this is Greece. Leopard is Greece. Okay, this is Medium Persia. P-E-R. This is Greece. Yes. And this is Babylon. Okay. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, right? And in his dream, he dreamt of this colossus. And he saw a head of gold. He saw a chest piece of silver. He saw a midsection of brass. And he saw this here of iron. I started iron. I-R-O-N. Okay. All right. And then at the end of it, there is a dreadful beast. A D F U L beast. Which is worse than all of the other beasts. Now, in John's vision, remember what he talked about? The beast that he saw, it was had part of a bear, had part of a leopard, had part of a lion, had all of these parts, the same parts as these. And so John's beast had bits and pieces of the leopard, had bits and pieces of the bear, had bits and pieces of the lion. All right, but it is what John saw was this dreadful beast right here that had teeth of iron that was able to break apart all of the other kingdoms that had come before it. See, this dreadful beast that comes up in John's vision is stronger than the leopard, it's stronger than the bear, it's stronger than the Grecians, the Medo-Persians, and Babylon. Okay, is stronger than the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron that is brought up together. This last beast is a last kingdom that comes up into the world. Now, this beast, this is the one that we're talking about here in Daniel, here in the Revelation 13, and in the Revelation 17. This is the same beast. It's the same power structure that's coming up. Now, when John is seeing this as a beast, this is actually a power structure that is coming up from the world, okay? And is more dreadful, more powerful than any other power structures that had coming up before it. It was more deafening than all of the things that Nebuchadnezzar had seen, all of the things that the angel showed Daniel at the river Chebar. And so those are, as a quick overview, as quick as we can, if you don't know what I'm talking about, read your Bible, okay? Because I went over this last week, and you can listen to it from last week's. You know, you can go on the internet and find it right out in there. And so putting on my glasses again. All right, and so in Daniel's beast, we're going to look at it starting Daniel 7. 7:7, I think, is where I started. And after this, I saw in the night vision, behold, there is the fourth beast that's down here, the fourth beast. And he was fourth. He was dreadful, and he was terrible. He was exceedingly strong, and with great iron teeth. All right, iron teeth. All right, and he was able to wipe out all the things that were before it. He was diverse from all of the other beasts that was before it. Now remember the beast that John saw coming up out of the sea. He was like all of the other beasts, but he was diverse. He was different from any of the other beasts, but he was very much alike them. Does that make sense? He had characteristics that held all of the beasts together, you know? And so do I need to go back and show that to you again about his feet and his all that kind of stuff in the Revelation chapter 13? Okay. And Daniel said in verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them, among the ten horns, these ten horns are nations, their kingdoms, their powers, their principalities, there came up a small horn in amongst them. And once this small horn came up, he had the power, the authority, to wipe out three of them. Two, three. Which leaves how many? Seven plus one makes eight. Okay, because he's a power in and of himself. So, but anyhow, he wipes out ten of the power structures that were in amongst him. And this little horn came out from, let's start in the beginning of 8 again. And I considered the horns. And behold, there come up among another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like a man, and a mouth that spoke great things. Behold, I beheld until the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did set. Now, remember last week, when we were talking about Satan being cast out of the heavens, there was a war in the heavens. The angels of Michael and the angels of Lucifer, the angel of God, the angels of Lucifer fought. And then Satan was cast down, and he had 42 months, right? He was angry. He knew he only had a short time. All right, now here Daniel's again. In this time that they're after these horns are plucked out, that Satan's cast down the powers. He had eyes and he spoke great things. And behold, the thrones were cast down. The thrones, the authority of Satan was cast out of heaven. The thrones were cast down. And the Ancient of Days did set, just like he did in the Revelation. I believe it's chapter 12 or 11, where Jesus sets, the Ancient of Days sets. And John saw him coming in on a cloud. Whose garment was white as snow, and his hair was like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame. And John explained that very well in the Revelation. We've seen it several times since we've been there. And his wheels as a burning fire. And fiery stream came forth from before him, and thousands ministered, and tens of thousands times tens of thousands stood before him. And the judgment was set, and the books were opened. Here we see Daniel, he's getting a far-off shot. He's going to the end of the millennial reign. He's going to the judgment seat of God. He's going to the resurrection, where every human being that has lived is going to stand before God. And so he sees thousands and thousands, and the books are open. And verse 11, and I beheld then as a voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Now, we're going to go back. We're going to find that in Revelation again, that there's coming a time that this beast is going to be cast into the lake of fire with brimstone. The false prophet and the beast are both going to be cast out into this lake of brimstone. Here, Daniel is seeing it at this time. And so, is this good and confusing yet? Just wait till we get to the next chapter. And as concerning the rest of the beast, they had their domination and they were taken away, and yet their lives were prolonged for a season and for a time. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, and all the peoples and nations and the language should serve him and his dominion as an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Again, you see, Jesus Christ's very last part of this is Jesus' dominion that will not be destroyed. This Antichrist, he's going to have a little bit of time. He's the Antichrist and the false prophet. They're going to have a 3.5-year period that they're going to rule this world, but they're going to rule it under the authority of the dragon, which was cast out of heaven. And he came down to torment the world, to the world and Israel, for just a short period of time, 3.5 years. That's all the time he has. So he's doing the best he can to mess up everything. But remember, God's in control. Who's the last kingdom? Jesus Christ. Because here in this right here, and I didn't draw it, there's another kingdom over here. That's a stone. S-T... Oh, that's my wrong hand. I wonder why I couldn't write. Thought I was having a stroke. It's a stone. And this stone kingdom, it comes and it strikes this colossus here at its feet, where this is iron and clay mixed, and this whole thing falls to the ground. See, none of these kingdoms here will ever be able to stand against this stone. And Jesus Christ is our stone. That's where the power comes from. Now, back to this beast that John has seen in Revelation 13. He came out of the sea, and we're going to find out that that's humanity and Revelation 17. He had seven heads. This little one, he comes and he rips off three of these. It leaves seven domination, seven heads, all right, has 10 horns and crowns. And then we're going to see this false prophet that's rising up. Oh, he is the Antichrist, all right, this one right here, the one who is wounded unto death. And we're also going to see he's over here also when we get to Revelation 17. Daniel chapter 11, he's called the willful king. All right, this is the Antichrist. But folks, if you're born again, you'll have a ringside seat in all of this. You'll already be out of the picture. All right, this is 3.5 years into the book of the Revelation. All right, so for 3.5 years, the church has been struggling. The Antichrist has been on the rise, but he hasn't truly had the power that he gets at this 3.5 year period. So he starts coming in, riding the white horse with a bow with no arrows. He's riding in. After then, you know, we got the four horsemen, right? And we can go through all of that. That the church is involved in all of that. We're going to see wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and all that. We're going to be there for that. The church is going to be gathered up. The influence of the church of Jesus Christ is going to be gathered up into a corral of some sort, a concentration camp, if that's what you want to call it. And then there's going to come a day that Jesus is going to finish with the church. All right. Everybody who is alive at that time, that's breathing, that's a Christian, you will breathe your last. Everybody exhale one time. That's what it's going to be like. You're going to breathe your last breath. You're going to fall over. Poof, you're going to die. Praise God. That's a good thing, right? Because there's no more pain. There's no more tears. We already seen that. Jesus wipes away the tears out of all your eyes, all that kind of stuff. All of your pain, all of your worry, all of your hunger, all of your hurting is gone. All right? But you got to put up with 3.5 years of the first part of the Revelation. I don't like calling that first part tribulation because that ain't nothing yet. All right, that's just what the world's able to do to you. But Jesus said, don't worry about what the world can do to you. Don't worry about somebody that's just able to kill your body. Worry about him who's able to kill your body and take your soul. And only Jesus Christ can do that. And so, you see, as we're coming up to this, dreadful beast that Daniel saw, he was exceedingly strong. He had iron teeth. He was able to stomp all these other the leopard, the bear, and the lion, and Rome, he was able to defeat all of them. He was more powerful than all of those other empires that had ever come. All right, this is the same beast that John saw coming up out of the sea of humanity that had the same 10 horns, that had the same 7 heads, that was the same power and influence given to him by Lucifer himself. All right, now, in Revelation 13, you're going to see this other character that comes up right beside him. And it is the false prophet. So if we'll flip over there, go back to Revelation. And we're going to pick up in verse 11 of chapter 13. This is another beast, or the other beast. And I beheld another beast come out of the earth. All right. Remember, the first one came out of the sea. This one comes out of the earth. And it had 2 horns like a lamb. And it spoke as a dragon. It spoke with the authority of Satan. All right. And he exercises all the powers of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. All right, so the first beast, the Antichrist, had a shot to the head, shot to the heart, and I'm to blame. I gave Satan a bad name. Right, and so anyhow, he's doing his thing, right? And he has power that's given to him. And verse 13, and he does great wonders, and he makes fire come down out of heaven on the earth in the sight of man. That's pretty cool. He has like a Tesla trick. You know, I don't know how he does it. He has the power of Satan, and he says, fire come down from heaven to the earth. And he's able to do that. Everybody's amazed. I mean, really, even if the church was here at this time, you saw this happening on CNN, because they're fake news anyhow. You saw this happening on CNN, right? This guy standing out there, and he's calling fire down from heaven. You would be amazed. You'd say, dude, who can stand against this guy? First, I saw his boss get shot in the head, and he's up. He's better. He's doing good. About half a brain now, but he's still okay. He's able to do stuff. And now his buddy, this false prophet, he's here, and he's calling fire down from heaven. Wow. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? And will have ringside seats. But anyhow, verse 14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Okay, so we know that this guy it's a sword, all right? He got wounded by a bang. I don't know, it was a wound to the head by a sword, all right? And this beast out of the earth, he has powers, and he just, he's the greatest the sorcerer that you could ever think of. You know, he was a wizard of wizards. And he had power to give life to the image. First he says, all right, you see this, I made the beast rise up. All right, now I want you to make everybody we're going to make a colossal image just like this one here. It's going to have a head of gold. It's going to be all this. It's going to be this beautiful thing. And it starts out as a statue. But then that second beast says, I have power to make that move. And all of a sudden, the colossal starts moving and walking and talking. And people are amazed by this. They're blown away. Their mind is completely sucked out of their head. Or their common sense is sucked out of their head. Well, actually, they don't know the Word of God. And so, in verse 15, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause... and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell or save that he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And this is wisdom. It's 666, all right? So this guy makes this thing rise up, this colossal, this image of the beast, all right? And it's talking, it's moving, it's animated. And then he says, look at how great this beast is, this colossal that we made, this image that we made. Tell you what, if you want to buy, sell, or trade, you got to have a chip put in you. Do you know that we, right now, in this generation that we're living in, this is the very first time that the technology has been around for that to actually work. I was reading today, we are so close to a cashless society. They're going to do away with the regular dollar bills that you have, that you're not going to be able to go to the bank and withdraw $100. And even if you've got a $100 bill in your chest or drawers at the house, it's not going to be worth anything. And after the plastic goes, because they're all going to put it on the debit card, right, your EBT card, that kind of stuff, you're going to have everything that you can get off of that. Well, after that goes away, they're going to say, well, you know, I can steal her debit card, or I'm able to finagle that. So they say, here's a way to take care of that. I'm going to take and I'm going to put a chip in your hand or on your forehead. And now nobody can take your card away. It's all safe. Just trust me. Didn't I make this colossal speak? Didn't I make this thing work? How about that beast that was killed and he came back? How about that Antichrist? Isn't he a cool guy? He's able to cause peace throughout the world. No more famine, no more hard times. Everybody's on a level playing field. Right? Sounds good. Communism all over. Right? Or, as the Democrats would have you think, social progressiveness. All right. So you're seeing this, you're seeing it evolve in our lifetime. And like I said, never before this time has it ever been able that, like the two witnesses that were in Jerusalem, how else could anybody, I'm getting in front of the speaker, I'm getting kind of excited. So, how else could we see those two witnesses be murdered? Or die there, overcome by the beast, the first one that before he had the wound to the head, be overcome, and the whole world see it all at once. And then after 3.5 days, life come back into them and be caught up into heaven. Until we had worldwide TV, we weren't able to do that. Until we had worldwide internet connections, we weren't able to put a chip in your forehead or in the back of your hand where all of your finances would be taken care of. Nobody would ever have to balance their checkbook again. You don't have to worry about having cash in your house because you got it. It's all done for you. All right? So this is what the Antichrist and the false prophet are able to do before people. And he makes it sound good. Remember this, they're able to speak great and swelling words because they're influenced by Satan himself. The devil gives them the words to say. You know how Jesus said that we don't need to study? Not study. We don't have to worry about what we'll have to say when we're persecuted because the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we'll say whatever we need to, that the Holy Spirit will be able to draw that out. This false prophet, he's going to be able to put that same thing only on an Antichrist way. All right? He's going to do the exact opposite of what Christ does. He's the unholy spirit. All right. In the Lucifer realm, there's Satan. All right. He would present as Father God to us, as Jehovah. Then the Antichrist, the first beast that comes out of the sea of humanity, that would be like unto Jesus to us. Jesus, God manifested in flesh, came up in humanity to seek and save that which was lost. So you have the two sides. And then after Jesus was wounded, died, and rose again, he sent the Holy Spirit. So you're seeing the unholy Trinity right here unfolding right before your eyes. They're able to do great and marvelous things. All right? I mean, big and marvelous. I mean, God's big enough to take care of it because we know that there's another kingdom that's coming in 3.5 short years. All right? So during this 3.5 year time, you're seeing all these things unfold. All right? So that gets us through chapter 13. Go to Revelation chapter 17, and you're going to see the same thing again, all right, only with a new twist to it. Don't you love it when Jesus puts a new twist on it? We still got 10 minutes. Yeah! Man, I'm going to get through this by the grace of God. And so, y'all over at Revelation 17? Okay, and I'll just start in one and read through. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and he talked with me, saying, come up here. No, come hither. And I will show you, I will show unto thee the judgment, the great whore that setteth upon many waters, which whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made to drink the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Sound familiar to you? What did that first beast that John saw coming out of the, he was able to speak blasphemy, had seven heads, ten horns. In Daniel's vision, there was a beast that came up, spoke great blasphemy, had ten horns, and three of them got took down, made seven. All right? Plus the little one, which was eight. All right? In verse 4, and the woman, she was arrayed in purple and scarlet in color, and she was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and having gold in her cup full of the abominations and filthiness and fornication. And upon her forehead was a name that was written. She must have a really big head here. Look at this. She has a five head, not a forehead. Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. Amen. So that's who she's known as the five head. Anyhow, five, four. Anyhow, yeah, y'all see what I'm talking about. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And other, not like, oh, this is a great chick. I can't wait to date her. No, it's admiration. I need to know the rest of the story. He's needing a Paul Harvey moment. That's what he's looking for. I need to know what the rest of the story is. And verse 7, and an angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. So we're about ready to find out exactly what these seven heads and ten horns are. Isn't that good to know? That if you read enough, you'll get the answers, right? If you study enough, it's all in there. And Verse 8, and the beast that thou sawest, which was and which was not, all right, that's the one right here who was wounded, all right, with the sword to the head and all that kind of stuff. He was wounded, he was, and then he was not, and then he was again. All right, he was there, he died, and he came back. All right, I should have left my finger on my Bible. And the beast which thou sawest, which was and which was not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Perdition means destruction. He's going into destruction. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So, like we just saw in Revelation 13, when the false prophet starts doing all of these wonders, the whole world is fascinated by it. What's one of those TV shows that everybody watches? Desperate Housewives? I don't know what goes on TV nowadays. American Idol, yeah, whatever. But the whole world is watching this. And anybody who's not written in the book of life. So if you ain't saved, you're here. If you're not born again at this time, all right? Well, if you're born again, you wouldn't be there anyhow. But whosoever name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will be. So if you're not saved right now, you might be witnessing this. You might be dumbfounded to this. You might be one of those folks who get a chip in your hand or your forehead because you say you know God, but you really don't know God. You say you read your Bible, but you never truly understand it. You say that you're full of the Holy Spirit, but you never repented of your evil deeds, all right? So a lot of folks will be saying that they're not going to be here, but they really will be. And in verse 9. And wow. I got to back up. I'm sorry. I get excited. I'm down here. I'm trying to point at the blackboard anyhow. And verse 9. And here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads or seven mountains or seven. Now, when he's saying mountains, he's not talking like the Rocky Mountains. All right. One of the commentaries, and like I said, I don't like commentaries, but you got to read them because that's how everybody else got their understanding of this. They say that the seven mountains are the seven hills of Rome. I don't see that because we saw seven kingdoms right here. We saw seven heads over there. It's not the seven mountains of Rome and so on. So anyhow, so one of the commentaries goes there and talks about that. But what we do know that these seven mountains are seven authorities, that there are seven things on which the woman sets. So this woman who rides the beast is in charge of seven authorities, seven things, seven of the ten horns. All right. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue for a short time. So again, he's backing up a little bit, showing you the Antichrist coming. He's coming. He hasn't come yet, but he is coming. He's not quite in power, but he's on the way. All right. And when he comes, he only has a short space of time. He only has a little bit of time to do all the dastardly deeds that he needs to do. And verse 11, and the beast that was and was not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, is the eighth of seven, right here. I stepped down and my Bible changed places. So in Daniel, he is the eighth of the seven. And his eighth of the seven. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as of yet, but received power as kings in 1 hour with the beast. So these ten horns that are here, they're ten powers, ten kingdoms, but they really have no authority yet. They're there, but they're not in charge. Kind of like our president. He's there, but he's really not in charge, right? The president of the United States has not been in charge since Washington. Okay, that was the last one that truly had any authority. And so, 13, these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. All right? All these kingdoms, they all have one mindset, a one world government. They all have one mindset, and they're going to all give all of their power to this one guy, this Antichrist. He will give it unto the beast. Verse 14, and shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, For he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings. And they that are with him are called the chosen and the faithful. Amen. So there's going to come a time that this Antichrist and the false prophet and devil himself is going to try to make war with Jesus Christ. Guess what? They're going to lose. Amen. You can't fight God. God created everything. And we're going to find out later in the Revelation that he comes down and he's just going to, I don't know what words he's going to use. He's going to use the sword out of his mouth. I don't think he's going to say drop dead, you know, and they're going to pop like grapes, you know. But anyhow, we'll get to that as we come to it. In verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, the whore setteth, are the peoples and the multitudes and the nations of tongues. You know, I've been talking about this beast that comes out of the sea and how he is out of the world. This is where you find the proof for that. All right. He's not coming out of the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean or the Mediterranean. He's coming out of the sea of humanity. And this is where the scripture backs that up. Come out of the multitudes, the nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. See, this woman that thinks she's running the whole show, I don't know, y'all might have some wives or somebody like that, thinks a woman's going to run the whole show. Woman ain't going to run the whole show. She thinks she is. She's going to be riding the beast. I think I got it under control, man. I got this 10-horned beast. I got him, got 7 heads. I'm riding him. Well, these nations are going to come up against that, and they're going to tear her to pieces. Some say it's the Roman Catholic Church. And for a while there, I kind of doubted that, you know, because there's another religious group that's on the rise. But now that the Roman Catholic Church has held on to the doctrines of Islam, I'm beginning to think maybe so. You know, this whore that rides the beast, the one power that's over top of all of the other powers that thinks that she has authority over top of the whole world, over top of all of these things. And so, anyhow, that's getting into another thing. Verse 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right. So y'all confused? You got to be back next week because it's that time. And so the three beasts that y'all saw that we just talked about, the one from Daniel is the one from Revelation 13. The beast that the woman is riding is still the same beast from Daniel in the Revelation. It's got the same characteristics. It runs for the same amount of time, 3.5 years. It has the same amount of horns. It has the same amount of heads. It came from the same place, out of the sea. Okay? We also saw the rise of this false prophet, the beast that came out of the earth instead of the sea. And so it's coming out of destruction and heading back to destruction. We'll find as we get further into the Revelation that here in the next couple chapters, because over the next few weeks, we'll be bringing all of these things back into play again. I challenge you, go home, read your Bibles. Okay? I'm going to ask you to stay away from the commentaries because they're all messed up. You know, a commentary is just the idea of a man. All right? The Bible backs itself up plenty well. You know, so if you'll study the Word of God, and don't be afraid to use your concordance. All right? A concordance is something that tells you where things are in the Bible. Amen? And so use your concordance, find some words, look them up, cipher it out for yourself. All of y'all are pretty smart. Most of you are pretty. Some of you are smart. All right? But all of you are pretty smart. Amen? You can figure this out. If I can get it, so can you. And but remember, during this last 3.5 years that's coming up here that we're looking at, the church has already done her deed. Okay? Grace is gone. God's pouring out his wrath on the earth. That's what we'll be looking at. Last week, we looked at the 7 trumpets and all that, or the week before that, it was the 7 trumpets and all those things. this here is happening in between or right after the seventh trumpet and before the vials of the wrath of God are poured out. All right? Now, these are... I read it. I could talk about it. We're going to wait. It's 10 minutes after 8. 5 minutes after 8. It's after 8. So anyhow, I love you. And if you have any questions, pray about it. It's beautiful because the Bible says that if you'll ask me, I'll give you everything you need to know. But first, I want to make sure, ones, you're born again. Everybody here born again? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, then you got something to worry about. If you have, you're okay. Don't sweat it. None of this stuff pertains to you. All of this stuff that we're learning in this for the last 3.5 years of the Revelation period, the tribulation, that's for the lost folks. And God put it in the Bible that we could warn them before it happens. So when they're going through it, they'll be popping their heads saying, man, I could have had a V8. You know, they'll be stuck there and there'll be nothing that they can do. They'll have hell to pay because they rejected the grace of Jesus Christ. It's all your free will. It's your choice. God's calling you. You know that? The Lord Jesus Christ does not want you to go through this. He does not want you to be cast to hell. He doesn't want you to go through this torment. He does not want to pour the wrath, His wrath, on His creation. God's not sitting up there saying, yeah, I can't wait till the next one. I can't wait till I pop a top on another one, pour out another vial on them. No, it's breaking His heart. But He knows these things have got to come to pass. Anyhow, I love you guys, and let me pray for you. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, for your love, for your compassion. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we have covered a lot of ground today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that we would hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. I pray, Father, that we would take these things, mold them over, chew them up, digest them, understand them fully, that we would be able to give every man an answer who would ask us. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' marvelous name, amen.